Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
The fifth Sunday in January, the first month is almost gone, and I hope that you are growing in your faith. I hope that we are maturing. I hope that fruit is being produced in our lives. We're going to end our series today on again, and today we'll be sharing the theme. And if you were here on Heart and Soul Night, we talked about this, but we're going to jump in a little bit deeper today. I'm about to cough. I promise it's not a corona cough, but everyone get, man, I sneezed on the airplane the other day, and you would have thought I had a bomb. Everybody just, I'm going to cough. That doesn't even sound like a corona cough. Revelation 21:5. And he sat upon the throne and said, and this is Jesus, and he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Turn to your neighbor before you're seated and tell them, if he did it once, he can do it again. Turn to somebody else one more time, because I felt something when some of y'all said that. If he did it before, he can do it again. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The last few sessions we've talked about coming into the new year needs a new us, a new perspective on how we look at things. That if we don't approach new seasons in a new way, we will just repeat or duplicate or replicate what has already been done. And I'm always quick to make sure that when we say again, we don't mean God's just going to do a do-over and that we're going to just live the same thing, because as much as God has blessed me, and as much as some of these years I could come out of in the last few years and be able to honestly say on January 1st that I just stepped out of the greatest year of my life, the greatest year of my life can become my enemy if that's what I always want God to do. And I don't want God to stop there. I want to continue to grow in faith. And a lot of times we judge the greatness of a year based on how much money we made, based on how much success we were able to gather, based on a lot of very superficial things. But I want to encourage you that a lot of times the greatest years have nothing to do with your economic stability, have nothing to do with how much you were able to climb the corporate ladder, but sometimes the greatest years of our lives are for us to be able to say, "I made it. After everything that I've been through, I made it. That I made it with my marriage intact, praise God. I made it and my kids are still coming along. I made it and I still wake up and Jesus is on my mind and my mind is on Jesus." Sometimes the greatest testimony is not all the things that God has done, but simply God has kept me and he has brought me to this place for this time. We see in verse 5 of Revelation 21, Jesus said, "I make all things new." And he said, "I want you to write down what I'm about to say, because these words are true and these words are faithful." We know that God's words are faithful because God's word is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. That's John 1:1. We know that God's word is alive. It's quick. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that God's word doesn't stop. It doesn't return void to God, that when God sends it out, it has to accomplish. It has to fulfill the assignment and the task that God sent it to do. Last session, last week, we talked that it is done. And I love in verses 6, 7, and 8 when Jesus keeps on talking to John that he says, "What you need done is already done." I love the fact that when Jesus says it is done, not only is it said here in Revelation from God through John, but it was the words of Christ on the cross that it is finished. What is it? It is anything you need it to be. The redemptive work of the cross was not only there to save us from a hell and save us from ourselves, but it was to not only save us, but to heal us, to deliver us, to make sure that the power and authority that Jesus had now rests and resides in us. It is done. That statement is why we believe from something and not for something. If we're believing for something, it is in front of us. If we believe from something, it is something that we stand on in faith that backs us up. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That means God has already been to our future, and he's moving backwards. We are in the present moving forward. Last session, we talked that we must have Omega faith in our Alpha moments. What does that mean? That in January, we can look forward, not knowing what the year of 2021 holds, but we're able to say in faith, God, in the Alpha month of this year, I can declare the goodness of the Lord, and it doesn't matter what February to December holds. I'm going to keep on moving in faith. I'm going to keep my hope intact. I'm going to come through this year no matter what with my family, with my marriage, with my ministry, with my purpose. Somebody say amen. Fear is where we ended off last session. Fear has no place in our lives. Has no place in 2021. If I can be honest with you, I have quit watching the news, and I quit watching the news about 5 months ago. I get on Twitter, and I get on the nightly news to watch the weather. I don't really need the nightly news anymore because I have apps, and so I will watch the weather. I will go back about every 5 days and see how many games the Spurs lost, and hey, they're fourth in the West. They're fourth in the West with an 11-8 record. That's not very good. But anyway, I don't want to get sidebarred into sports. But I don't watch the news anymore because I found out that the more I watch news, the more that fear was always there. And if fear wasn't dominating me, it was nagging at me. What if? And the questions of what if can paralyze you. And fear, even if it's not controlling you, if fear hangs around, eventually it's going to start making decisions for you. And it's going to cause you to lose sleep. And when you lose sleep, you're not going to be as sharp as you need to. And when we say sharp, it means we're not sober. We're not vigilant, which means the enemy now has a foothold into our life. And so in 2021, we cannot be fearful. We have to move in faith. So the three words that God gave for me and Mandy concerning Living Way as we move into 2021, I believe these three words will chart the next season of our church. But it will also chart the next season for us as believers. If you are a believer, a follower, and a disciple of Jesus Christ, just throw your hand in the air and just wave at me. All right, most of us are on one accord. We believe in Jesus. We love him. We follow him. And we are disciplined believers. That's a disciple that follows Jesus. And after 2020 disrupted the kingdom like never before. 2020 did not just disrupt your child's school and your workplace. And 2020 didn't just disrupt small business. And 2020 didn't just disrupt the political landscape. 2020 disrupted the kingdom. And when I say kingdom, it didn't change kingdom, but it awakened kingdom. And when 2020 showed up, everybody's focus shifted. Not everybody. A lot of people's focus shifted. A lot of people's desire shifted. A lot of people's eyes were averted to different things. You know, 2020 caused some people to look at Jesus more intently than they've looked at him in years. But other people, 2020 caused their eyes to look at other people more than they have in years. Maybe you shifted your gaze. Maybe you lost momentum in 2020. And so all three of the words that God has given us for 2021 begin with the two letters R-E. Redefine means again. To where we get our theme for this year or this series, again. There is such a power in the word again. Because again sets us up. It's a faith word. It's either a faith word for believers or it can be a fear word. Can I encourage us to quit thinking about everything that could go wrong and start thinking of everything that could go right? Quit playing the what if all hell breaks loose and start declaring what if all heaven breaks loose. Maybe turn your what ifs into wins. Instead of what if God blesses me, it's when God blesses me, when God shows up, when God speaks next, when God shows up next. And so the power of again is an amazing thing. The power of again is why we need your testimony so desperately. Not only do we need your testimony in this room, but more importantly, there are millions of people on planet Earth that need your testimony every day. Because what we say when we give a testimony is this is what God has done before. And then when you give that testimony, it should inspire faith and hope that if God did it before, then God will do it again. I don't know how many times, church, that I have drawn from the testimony of great men and women that sit in this room today, that when I face my Goliath, I can look back and I can see how you defeated your Goliath. I can look back at times when you had cancer given to some member in your family, and it was able to give me strength that when Pastor Becky or Pastor Sean or Bishop received that word, that I could stand in faith and say, God, if you did it for them, you can do it again. If you did it last decade, you can do it this decade. I don't know how many times in my own life, don't even have to look very far. I appreciate your testimony, but I don't know how many times in the last 20 years of my walk with God that when I was going through something, God had to remind me, hey, remember what I did 5 years ago in your life? And when I look back over my life and I see God's hand moving in and out and replacing things and replenishing things and healing things and delivering things and showing up when I didn't think that anybody else was going to show up. And so the power of again allows me to stand on the brink of the greatest year of my life and say, it doesn't matter what's in front of me. All that matters is what's in me, and what's in me can dominate whatever is in front of me. And I have that testimony. And it's not a hope, it is a faith, because he's been there with me before and he's never left my side, and he will be with me till the end of the ages, to the end of my life on this earth. Somebody say again. Proverbs 24:16, the NIV says, for though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. The difference between the wicked is when they stumble and fall, they stay down. It's not a problem when we as believers fall, because the Bible says that the righteous, those that are in right standing with God, he said they fall, but seven times after they fall seven times, they rise again seven times. Can I just help somebody today and tell you that it's okay when you fall, because the Bible says even the righteous fall, but it is never okay to stay down. It is time for somebody to rise again. It is time for somebody to say, I know I've made some mistakes, but my mistakes don't define me. They propel me closer to Jesus, and it doesn't matter what I've come out of. It doesn't matter even what I'm going through today. I'm going to make sure by the end of this service, I might not cover a mile, but I'm going to stand back up. I might not get to the finish line today, but I'm going to rise again. Number one word for 2021 is simply reset. Reset means to start again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let me give you just some practical information. Every day of your life, you ought to praise God, you ought to worship God, and you ought to talk to God through prayer. But can I tell you that part of my daily habit with God is I make sure that I am renewed. I make sure that I declare I am a new creation. I do that for me, because sometimes Brandon and my old flesh needs to hear that, listen, flesh, you don't rule me, you don't govern me. The Spirit of God governs me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in me, and so I am a new person. The Bible says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, and so I say it until I see it. I declare it until I do it. And can I encourage you, when you start declaring that you are a new creation, not only are you declaring to you. All of heaven hears you. All but all of hell hears you too. And the devil thought 2020 was going to take you out. And the devil thought 2020 was going to slow you down. But all 2020 did is it set you up for the best reset of your life. And here in January, on the last day of the month, I've come to declare, Living Way, we're a new and living way. You are a new believer. You are a new creation. You are a new worshiper. You are a new praiser. I've been married 18 years, but I got a new marriage. Been a father for 17 years, but I got a new family. I declare it. I hit reset. How many gamers do we have in the house? You play games. And any gamers, some of y'all are sad to say it. You're ashamed. It's okay. We're all family here. Sean and I grew up playing a lot of games. A lot of games. Our game of choice for many years, some of y'all won't even know what a SNES is. Super Nintendo Entertainment System. There was a game called Street Fighter. There it is. We got Ryu, and we got Ken, and we got terrible graphics that we thought were awesome back in 1990, 91, 92. Now realize, Sean's 4 years older than me. Sean is a gamer, still is a gamer. I don't play a lot of games because I'm not very good at them. And once those controllers had like 28 buttons, I was done. I'm used to Nintendo with an up, down, left, right toggle and A, B on the side. That's it. Super Nintendo with that X, Y, and those top buttons about did me in. Now they got like three toggle sticks, buttons on the back, rumble packs. Oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. But Sean loved to play me because he always won. I'm 10, he's 14. He's a gamer. I can barely play Mario Brothers on the regular Nintendo. But when we would start playing and he would start beating me, at the end, right before the knockout punch was about to happen, I would just reach up and hit reset. I would just hit that button. It would make him so mad. And you know why it would make him mad? Because I would gloat and say, you almost had me, but you didn't win. You almost, oh, so close. You got to be quicker than that. So close to beating me, but you, well, you cheated. You hit the reset button. There's no rules that says I can't hit the reset button. And so we would start again. Round one, round two, right before he's about to finish me off, hit that reset button. Let me tell you what the reset button, what I learned from reset the video game. Every time I hit the reset button, all competitors started back at the same place. I knocked them back to where they were, not where they are. Church, if I can encourage you, we are hitting the reset button at Living Way. I know 2020 was tough, and I know 2020 was difficult, and the devil thought, oh, I've got them where I need them. I'm about to hit them with that knockout blow. But little did they know that we're smart enough to say, nope, God's given us a reset button. And every time the devil thought he was going to win, we hit that, what's that reset button? My praise is a reset button. My worship is a reset button. Every time you pray, you hit that reset button. Every time you open up God's word, you hit the reset. Every time you showed up or tuned into church, you hit the reset button. Every time you give, you hit reset. Every time you serve, you hit reset. You hit reset. Somebody say reset. Here's something else I learned. When I reset, it gives me the ability to change my strategy. The that I know what didn't work the last time. Come on. And since I know it didn't work that time, I quit doing things the same old way. Because to do the same thing and expect a new result is the definition of insanity. The devil's been trying to make you insane all year long. He thought he had you the last 13 months, but I'm here to tell you, you came out of the game. You came into life. You came out of 2020 and you said, hey, devil, I'm smarter than I was this time last year. I'm more anointed than I was this time last year. I'm a little bit wiser than I was this time last year. And so when you hit reset, you're now able to say it didn't work that way. God, give me new strategies for my new level, for my new year, for my new season. Oh, and I like this. Before I give you this third one, a friend of mine last week, who's an influencer, tweeted, and she said, starting over isn't always a bad thing. It's a growing thing. And that just encouraged me, and I messaged her, or I commented this response, that I love starting over. Because when I start over, I don't start from zero. I start over with experience. I start over with more wisdom. And you're going to like this. I usually start over with better relationships. So see, coming into 20, oh, come on. If 2020 taught us anything, it taught us the real ones. It taught us the ones that are ruled by fear. If anything, and I told my friend, I said, man, 2020, he said, what did you learn in 2020? I said, it exposed people. It showed us faith. It showed us fear. It showed us panic. It showed us peace. But I love when I hit reset because I'm not going all the way back to what I was. I'm just resetting where I am. And I am better. You are better than we used to be. We're coming in to 2020. You've got better relationships. You've got more anointing. You've got more wisdom. You've got more knowledge. You've been through something. And so when you hit that reset button, everything changes. By continuously reevaluating our lives, we're able to reset daily. We pursue God in a brand new way. Really quickly, the word resets. Worship resets us. Praise resets us. Prayer resets us. Church resets us. Here's something very practical. Sleep resets you. I'm a power napper. You give me 15 minutes. Lights don't have to be off. I don't have to have a sleep mask, a blanket. I don't need any of that. You give me 15 minutes. I can be so tired that I can't hold my eyes open. Anybody to the age where you fall asleep, sitting at your desk, working on your computer, raise your hand. I'm in that boat. But if I'll just stop for 15 minutes, sleep, it is literally like factory resetting my body and saying, all right, let's do this again. I wake up refreshed. Let me tell you another thing that will help reset you, taking time away. And I flew to Ohio this week ago, and I was there for just 48 hours, Jade and I came back and I told Manny, I said, I love these short trips because I said, I'm only gone for 12 hours, and I'm all ready to get back. I've got vision. I've got energy. When I get back, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I get all of that just by stepping away. You might not be able to leave town, but let me tell you, just step away from whatever you're going through. Breathe a little. Pray a little. Get in devotion with God. After 15 minutes, you're going to be ready to come back to the battle and say, all right, now it's time to win. Why? Because I reset myself. When you reset yourself through rest, the Bible says that mercy is fresh every morning. Every time I close or you close your eyes and wake up, mercy is fresh in your life. Here's another thing that resets us. Catastrophe resets us. Calamities reset us. Well, why do you say it like that? I say it like that because I'm closer to my family in 2021 than I ever have been. And the reason I am, pandemic. So out of the craziness, I was able to step back in a quarantine. Come on. I was able to rest in the fact that God's got it all in control. But in the time of quarantine, I spent more time with my wife, with my kids. I remember the main thing so that I can keep the main thing the main thing. And so while other people are cursing the catastrophe, I'm saying, God, even in my affliction, I will worship you and praise you, because all things are going to work for my good. And out of the pandemic and out of corona and out of quarantine, my family is stronger because I hit reset. Number two, refocus. Somebody say, to focus again. Hebrews 12, 2, I got to hurry through this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's great, great, great scripture. But let's go on, because it doesn't end there. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Paul, who I believe wrote Hebrews, is speaking in past tense. But how Jesus lived this verse is very different. Who for the joy that was set before him endured what he was going through, because there was something in front of him that he was focused. Jesus went to the cross knowing it was going to be painful. He was going to be mocked. His followers were going to question him. All of the craziness of the cross and the crucifixion. He said, I will go through it, because I'm not looking at it. I'm looking beyond it at all of the sons and daughters that are going to come into my family. There is a joy in front of me that is greater than the cross that I'm hanging on. Come on. There is a joy that is in front of me that is greater than the storm that I'm currently in. And so I'm not concentrated and focused on the storm. I am concentrated on Jesus. I'm not saying that in 2020 we lost sight of Jesus' kingdom or ministry, but I am saying that sometimes we get distracted, that our eyes are taken away from the main thing, which is Jesus. Just like Peter in the waves, Peter's walking on water, and he does fine until he is distracted, even momentarily, and starts to sink. But what I love about Peter that nobody preaches about is the moment he begins to sink because of his distraction, what's the first thing he does? He looks back to Jesus. He pivots back to Jesus and says, Jesus, save me. And what does Jesus do? Takes him by the hand. And no one ever talks about this either. He didn't carry Peter to the boat. Peter walked hand in hand with Jesus back to the boat. If you're distracted in 2021, because of 2020, or maybe something you're facing today, can I encourage you, don't lose sight of the main thing. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Maybe you need to rededicate and say, Jesus, save me. And I promise you, no matter what you're going through, Jesus is going to take you by the hand, and he's going to lead you back to where you were supposed to be anyway. For those of you who don't know, one of my hobbies is I'm a photographer. I take a lot of pictures out at the ranch. Shameless plug, at Fender Ranch on all social media platforms. You can see beautiful pictures of livestock, ranches, and horses. But I take a lot of pictures. And I've got a nice, actually, Mandy's got a nice camera that she lets me borrow. I have to back up and say that, because she'll call me out after service if I say it's my camera, because she reminds me all the time that it is her camera that she's letting me borrow. So it has a nice lens on it, but I bought a very expensive lens that is not, it's not an automatic focus. I've got to manually focus that with every picture. So what that means is there's a lot of pictures I take that when I get back to my computer and I sit down, like this past week, I took 1,200 pictures in about an hour and a half. And when I get back out of that 1,200 pictures, I think I only ended up using 22. Because the horse wasn't standing right, ears weren't right, head wasn't right, they're moving, other horses come in the picture. But a lot of the ones I delete and are unusable because they are out of focus. Show them the unfocused picture. This is a horse that I just bought outside of Magnolia, Texas. If you'd like to buy her, no, just kidding. I'm just kidding. Beautiful horse. But if you notice, the main part of the picture, the horse is unfocused. The camera has focused in on the panels, the fencing. You can even see, look how crisp the barbs are on that fence. Because the camera is focused on the wrong thing. Show them the same picture that I took a split second later that is now focused. Same picture, nothing in the frame changed. But what is focused on has changed. And it becomes crisp. Can I encourage you? It's not that Jesus isn't in your frame. It's not that Jesus isn't in your boat. It's not that Jesus isn't in your life. It's not that you can't see Jesus out of your periphery. It's not that you're 10 miles away from Jesus. It's not that Jesus has left you. All it means is you're too busy looking at everything around Jesus and you're not looking at Jesus. I want to tell you, focus your life and your attention on Jesus and let him be the main thing. Refocus, refocus, recalibrate, recalibrate every day of your life. Refocus, Living Way. Refocus, Living Way. As a pastor, I'm refocusing the church. I love lighting. I love graphics. I love the wall. I love all the things that we do. I love Christmas programs. I love when this praise team sings. But listen, the food bank, we want to focus in on bringing people to Jesus. Our reach team, we want to focus in on finding people and bringing them to Jesus. Everything that Living Way does, it all points to Jesus. But we've got to make sure that when we preach, we're always preaching Jesus, 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 Jesus. We can preach series on family, but it all points to Jesus. We can do relationship series, but it all points to Jesus. We can talk about your money, but it all points to Jesus. Focus in on the right thing. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. Refocus. Refocus. Go back to the unfocus real quick. Unfocus. Go back to the focus now. This changes things. Changes things. Jesus, I see you. Are you looking at him? Are you looking around him? I'm looking at him. I'm looking at him. Doesn't matter what's going on around me. I'm looking at Jesus. Cancer shows up. I'm looking at my healer. I'm not looking at the cancer. I'm looking at Jesus. Poverty tries to come in. Lack tries to come in. I'm not looking at those things. I'm looking to Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher. I'm not looking at calamity. I'm looking to the one that hung on the cross. I'm looking at the joy that is set before me. And finally, we reset, we refocus. Number three, we re-engage. 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 It. Again. Re-engage. There's a lot of people. Church people. And I'm not talking about living, I'm talking about church university because I talk to pastors all week long, every day. A lot of them are sharing the same sentiment. And they use different words for re-engage and commit, but it's all the same talking about. Man, it's tough to get people to recommit back to coming to church. And they used to serve, but now they're not serving, they're just sitting. And if they're not sitting in the church, they're sitting on the couch. Some of them, listen to this statistic, almost 80% that started watching online church that left physical in-person services, almost 80% of those that started watching last March are no longer watching any church. Evangelical churches. We're talking about full gospel. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit, Holy Ghost filled. They went from going to church once, twice, sometimes three times a week, went from tithing, giving, and serving, and all it did, it took just 10 months to get them out of the commitment. I talk to Mandy every day. Tell her how beautiful she is every day. I talk to her on the phone. I text her more than she probably wants me to. We sit down almost every night, and this has all been since quarantine. We sit down almost every night. We talk about the day. We talk about things that we encountered, maybe struggled with that day, storms that are brewing. We celebrate the good things. I do that because she's my wife. I told her, I said, on our 25th wedding anniversary, I want to renew our vows. She said, why? I said, it's just something I want to do. But can I encourage you? As a married man, I renew my vows every day. Why? Because I come home every night. I respect her enough that if I'm going to be later than what I said, I just hit her up and say, hey, this meeting ran long. The office is taking longer. I decided to go over here. I know I told you I'd be home at 7:30. I'll be home at 8:45. Not because I have to, but because I'm committed. Can I just press pause on the service and talk to those of you that are watching online? I so appreciate those of you that are staying in contact with us. Talked to a great family just yesterday. Pastor, I just say, hey, was thinking of you, love you. Didn't ask them where they were. Didn't ask them where they've been. Didn't ask them, when are they coming back? I just said, hey, just checking on you. You guys, we love you. We miss you. Did anything? And it's somebody that we've talked to back and forth, but I love their message back. Pastor, we watch every Sunday. We love the church. We're coming back as soon as we can. What they're saying is, hey, we're still committed. We're still family. We're still engaged. But there can be somebody in this room today standing on our feet that we're not engaged and committed like we used to. If I could be honest with you, a lot of people are using Corona as an excuse to step out. A lot of people are using the quarantine as a time to just, Pastor, I'm just going to concentrate on myself in this season. Let me tell you something. You're a multitasker. You got the Holy Ghost. You can concentrate on yourself and greet at the same time. You can concentrate on yourself and sing at the same time. It's time to recommit, reengage. Renew your vows to God. So if you're in this house and you need to reset, you need to hit that reset button. If you're tired of the devil running the score up on you, if you're tired of losing, if it looks like the knockout blow is just around the corner, I want to encourage you by coming to this altar. His mercy is fresh. Repentance is real. You can reset. Maybe there's issues in your life that you need to change. You can reset. Maybe there's things going on in your family.